Today on Annenberg Radio News.
We're really just trying to open up some of our food deserts in the city to have fresh fruits and vegetables coming into some of our neighborhoods that are really hurting.
A new city ordinance could mean an explosion of new farmers markets in Los Angeles. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 25th, 2011. I'm Tiffany Brannon. California has become a pipeline for illegal weapons flowing into Mexico. Today, Mexican officials were in Los Angeles urging the state to crack down on trafficking, which is fueling a wave of violence in Mexico. State Senator Kevin De Leon led a community meeting today to discuss California's role in the illegal trafficking of firearms and ammunition. Ellen Castor reports.
According to the Mexican government, 40,000 people have been murdered in the Mexican drug war in the past 5 years. Murders that have happened as a result of illegal weapon trafficking in the United States, many of which occurred right here in Los Angeles.
Lots of innocent children, moms and dads, have lost their lives.
Tijuana Chief of Police Alejandro Lares Valladares stood beside Los Angeles government leaders to urge stricter enforcement of U.S. gun and ammunition laws today. They're asking for tougher laws north of the border to stop the flow of these guns and ammo into Mexico. California State Senator Kevin De Leon said the state takes a tough stand on guns, but often the problem begins outside of the state.
A lot of the firearms don't come from California. They come from other states. They're purchased very easily, but unfortunately find their way through our state of California, whether they purchase them in Nevada, drive across state lines, and then into Mexico or South America.
De Leon added that the ease with which weaponry makes it to Mexico is due to the lack of tough federal laws controlling the movement of guns. Perhaps one of the biggest problems, he said, is not necessarily the weapons themselves, but rather the illegal trafficking of ammunition. Anyone can go to gun shows and buy ammunition without showing identification. De Leon said that it is critical for California law enforcement to begin demanding purchaser identification. He said even this small step could help keep ammunition out of the hands of the Mexican drug cartel. L.A. County Sheriff Lee Baca said keeping communication open between government agencies on both sides of the border and sharing information is vital for reducing crime. Illegal gun and ammunition trafficking has fueled an epidemic of violence south of our border. Sheriff Baca says it is our job as both Americans and Californians to understand what is happening. Ellen Castor, Annenberg Radio News.
The state attorney general's office announced today that undercover state agents seized 93 pounds of cocaine in Bellflower from a Guadalajara drug cartel. The raid took place last week. That raid came on the heels of another undercover operation in which agents seized 22 pounds of methamphetamines from the same cartel. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa called today for the city to make its tax holiday for the new business permanent. The measure gives companies 3 tax-free years when they open or move to LA. It's set to expire next year. Some critics of the mayor's business initiatives have questioned whether modest increases in jobs are worth the cost of luring them in. But the mayor says that policy has helped the city attract companies like software firm Blackline. It relocated this February to Woodland Hills and has added about 24 new jobs. Blackline's Mario Spincotti says LA's tax holiday was a major factor in the move. He credits the city's efforts to reach out to businesses.
For 3 years after moving into the city, we can avoid the city's gross receipt tax, which is huge, especially to a company like ours where we're growing very quickly. For us, that basically means we can hire more people. I have to give the mayor and his economic team kudos. They sort of took the first step in the sense that they were reaching out to businesses, and they really had an approach where they were able to help us through that process.
Several members of the city council, including mayoral contender Eric Garcetti, have also supported an extension of the tax holiday. October 25th is now officially nonprofit day in Los Angeles. Mayor Villaraigosa and City Council President Eric Garcetti announced the first annual nonprofit day this morning in an effort to support the third sector. Carla Robinson spoke with a local nonprofit about the new recognition.
Just as the public and private sectors were hit in the recession, nonprofits have fought for support as funding declined. The mayor says the nonprofit sector in LA is a $35.5 billion industry and employs 6% of the region's workforce. The city established Nonprofit Day to acknowledge the industry and provide encouragement through these tough times. Jacqueline Hamilton is the executive director of a small nonprofit organization called the Education Consortium of Central Los Angeles. The ECCLA works to provide enriched educational experiences to K through 12 students. Like many nonprofits, ECCLA was hit by the economic recession.
Well, everything's coming down to what measurable results you can provide. So we're having to look at our funding model and trying to seek new supporters for the work that we do. It's really, the tightened economy has made it really difficult for us.
At a news conference this morning, the mayor said Nonprofit Day is intended to encourage volunteer participation and donation. He noted that even as the funding has decreased, the need for nonprofit services has increased. Hamilton commends the city's efforts.
I think LA city leaders recognize the important role that nonprofit organizations play in meeting a wide range of civic needs. I welcome this raising the profile of nonprofits by having a nonprofit day. Anything that calls attention to the important work done by the third sector, the nonprofit sector of the economy, is very helpful.
In a similar effort, the Annenberg Foundation is hosting an event tonight in downtown LA highlighting the importance of nonprofits. 10 organizations will give speed pitches in a competition to win $100,000 in prizes. Carla Robinson, Annenberg Radio News.
Occupy Oakland protesters got a rude awakening this morning when police raided the area and arrested dozens of protesters. Officials asked the protesters to leave 5 days ago, but they refused to budge. Police have now barricaded City Hall Plaza, but protesters have vowed to return. Well, tonight will be cloudy, cool and windy with a low of 54. Tomorrow, sunny and clear with highs in the mid-60s. This weekend, slightly warmer weather with a high of 72 on Sunday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, why fish oil should be a part of your daily diet. In a society that runs on technological and social media, it's no surprise that we check Facebook, Twitter, or Google several times throughout the day. But what if those simple, taken-for-granted rights were foreign to us and only a dream on the horizon? In Iran, they are just that. Freedom of the press, unbiased journalism, or even the ability to surf the internet are banned by the oppressive government. I spoke about the issue with director of Voice of America's Persian News Network, Ramin Asghar.
Thanks very much. Right now, journalism and media is directed not on finding a kind of a marketplace for exchange of ideas. It's a very closed down enterprise inside Iran with a very limited scope of actual discussion. So it's a bit of a wasteland, quite frankly.
And how does the Persian News Network provide news to people in a country whose government is constantly trying to prevent and block not only news media, but pure freedom of information?
Well, it's a big challenge. I mean, that's an excellent question. We try to provide an objective and reliable range of programming, news and other programming that people find both engaging and credible. We hope that the programming is good enough that people will go to the extra trouble of getting around all the different barriers that the government puts in the way to find out what's going on in the outside world and listen to us.
You recently spoke of a new cyber censorship law that's going into effect in Iran within the next year or so. And what do you think the reaction will be to that law once it's enforced?
Well, the specific measure that they're taking is that they're interested in shutting down the access of Iranians to the World Wide Web. And they want to establish a intranet, the kind that businesses have and universities have, that only is accessible by people inside those institutions, which means that they'll have no link to the outside world. That intranet would actually be a lot faster and a lot more, you know, feature-packed than the World Wide Web as it's able to be accessed in Iran. I think the effect will be that people from Iran will be in a bubble and will, in that kind of situation, anytime that happens to a society, sooner or later, the society starts to stagnate. It's like taking a plant out of the light. It might be, you know, able to resist for a while, but sooner or later, it's going to head downhill and eventually collapse. I think people inside Iran don't have a realistic picture of what Americans are like. I'm not talking about American policy, and I'm not talking about people inside the Washington Beltway. I'm talking about people all over the United States. United States that have many different stories, are not in any way like the portrayals of Americans that the Iranian government has been feeding its population for the last 32 years. You know, in the long run, that type of activity of shutting down your mind is a fundamental violation of your rights as a human being. And there are people who care about this, and there are people who want to raise awareness that this is happening. And my message to them is that, you know, all of those people who fought that struggle in the Soviet Union and in the Eastern Bloc through all those years didn't have a lot of promising things going on, but eventually they prevailed, and those countries are not perfect, but they're free. And they can make their own mistakes, they can have their own successes. If Iran or any of these societies believe that their ideology is so powerful that people should believe in it, well, heck, put it up for debate. Put it up in front of people and let them decide. But if you need to shut down people's minds to be able to run your country, then your ideology must not be that powerful.
Ramin Asghar is the director of the Persian News Network and is the highest-ranking Iranian-American career force service officer in the State Department. According to the FBI, there are an estimated 1.4 million gang members across the country. As gang membership flourishes, counterfeiting has been on the rise. Today, Sheriff Lee Baca announced a new initiative to combat counterfeiting and piracy. Alex Norwick has more.
Sheriff Lee Baca is cracking down on music piracy and counterfeiting in Southern California. The Los Angeles Regional Crime Stoppers is partnering with Nick's Check Cashing to reward anonymous tipsters that lead to an arrest.
We're really proud of the fact that Nick's has stepped up to the plate and got involved with Crime Stoppers. Tipsters selected to receive awards will be directed to one of several Nick's check cashing outlets throughout Los Angeles County, where a secure system has been set up for them to receive their payout.
Crime Stoppers was founded in 2009 when the Los Angeles County Sheriff and Police Departments joined forces. So far, the initiative has resulted in over 250 arrests and the seizure of nearly $2 million of narcotics. Partners in the initiative will also crack down on illegal downloading of music. Marcus Cohen is director of anti-piracy investigations for the Recording Industry Association of America. He believes the policy will help graduates who are looking for jobs in the music industry.
Anybody who's in school right now or you know, recently out of school, obviously looking for a job, especially in, you know, Los Angeles, these items, piracy and counterfeiting, should matter because it undercuts, obviously, the ability to hire and to break into the industry when the companies do not have money to pay people to hire into legitimate jobs.
The Crime Stoppers initiative comes after three people were arrested in Southern California yesterday for selling counterfeit iPhone products from China. Hollywood studios and television networks are also rallying behind the Protect Intellectual Property Act, a bill currently being debated in Congress. Alex Norwick, Annenberg Radio News.
A Santa Monica car wash became the only unionized car wash in the United States today. Megan Suisse reports on the difference the union will make for workers. UCLA researchers have found that taking a fish oil supplement and eating a low-fat diet can slow the growth of prostate cancer cells. The regimen also prevented the cancer cells from spreading to other parts of the body. The study compared a group of men eating a typical Western diet to those taking fish oil and eating mostly low-fat foods. The RAND Corporation retracted its controversial findings on medical marijuana. The study had linked a spike in neighborhood crime to open marijuana dispensaries. RAND removed the report from their website earlier this month. The report sparked a public controversy when RAND failed to include crime statistics from the LAPD in their study, which critics said greatly skewed the findings. This is the only second part that RAND has withdrawn in the last decade. Lawyer from the Los Angeles Attorney's Office called the findings deeply flawed. Despite RAND's retraction, City Attorney spokesperson Frank Smetidon believes reducing the number of dispensaries will reduce the threat to public safety. We were unable to reach RAND Corporation for further comment. However, Deborah Notman, vice president of RAND Corporation, says they will revise their findings to incorporate the LAPD data into their upcoming analysis. According to court documents filed today, Dodger owner Frank McCourt used $190 million from team funds to pay personal debts to support a lavish lifestyle. Major League Baseball filed the documents as part of an ongoing effort to oust McCoor as the owner of the team. The Dodgers filed for bankruptcy in June after the baseball commissioner rejected McCourt's proposal to sell its broadcast rights to cover its debt. The league says the only way to balance the books is to sell the team. The Santa Monica Car Wash, here's Megan Suisse.
The newly unionized workers at Bonus Car Wash chat in Spanish as they wait for customers. October is the beginning of the slow season. When a car pulls in, the workers jump into action, vacuuming and scrubbing. Before the workers had a contract, they weren't allowed to clock in until customers began arriving. Chloe Osmer, acting director of the Clean Car Wash campaign, says the new union will prevent such abuses.
Workers will get a raise. Workers will have a way to resolve problems when they come up in the car wash. Often now in the car wash industry, when workers speak out about, you know, violations of the law or missing hours in their paychecks, they're told, you know, there's the door if you're not happy with how things are. But the contract includes that workers can only be punished or dismissed for just cause.
Abner Recinos has worked at Bonus Car Wash for more than 3 years. The business did not respect their hours or break times, he says. The workers are happy because things have changed. Mike Watson, the regional manager of the car wash, hopes the move will be good not only for worker morale, but also for business.
The union is now helping drive business to the car wash by telling people this is the only union car wash around.
Osmer hopes Bonus Car Wash won't be the only union shop in town for long. Clean Car Wash campaign is helping workers organize at other L.A. area car washes as well. Megan Suisse, Annenberg Radio News.
Ticket prices are set to go up next year at the Hollywood Bowl. Today, the L.A. Board of Supervisors approved increases of up to $6 per ticket. The raise will be the steepest for most expensive seats. The L.A. Philharmonic Association says the changes will raise about $20,000 to cover expenses. Now we're going to check in with Madeline Segura to see what's coming up next on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hi, everyone. Tonight on ATVN, we will have a recap of day 17 in the Conrad Murray trial, where the defense saw day 2 of testimonies. Also, we will have our sports anchor, James Santelli, at the desk with us to discuss the new legal troubles facing Frank McCourt. Make sure you tune in tonight for more on that. And finally, tune in to hear about this new HPV vaccine for males. We will have student reactions at 6 p.m. For these stories and more, make sure that you tune in to ATVN at 6 or check us out on the web at atvn.org.
Thanks, Madeline. We're on Twitter and tweet regularly from our handle, Annenberg Radio, so stay up to date by following us. Well, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Samitha Bondadi, Ariel Edwards-Levy, and Solomon Fuentes.